story and have some fun with Les Palmer.
This is Carol Jean Jordan, tax collector in Indian River County, and I really enjoy listening to the mayor of the airways, Rhett Palmer, in mornings and in afternoons. Join me.
Okay, this is Rhett Palmer. How are you? We have Reinhard Bunke in the studio this morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Rhett.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Germany.
Reinhard Bunke. Now, you're an evangelist. I just recently saw on the internet last night that your last crusade in Africa, you had over 360,000 decisions for Jesus Christ.
It's correct. Within 5 days.
So that means there probably had to be about 400,000 people that showed up for this thing.
Oh, even more. Even more, yes. No, that's the harvest is ripe.
Now, you started off as a pastor's son.
I did.
Okay, so you started, and according to what I read in the bio, you started ministering in Africa at the age of 9?
No. At the age of 27.
Oh, 27.
Yes. You know, at age nine, I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. But that was in post-war Germany, long before that.
Post-war Germany.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us how you found Jesus. Some people out there might not know. This is secular radio. So what do you mean you found Jesus Christ? Explain that.
Well, my father was a pastor, a preacher of the gospel. I had heard the gospel of salvation, which means that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save all those who are lost. People in sin, sinners, will be saved from sin. They will find forgiveness through Christ's work of salvation. They find deliverance from guilt and from bondage, from compulsions, from addictions. And all these things Jesus saves and sets free.
Okay, but how did you find him?
Well, I grew up in a very godly home. I was born to Pentecostal parents, which in Germany is quite something.
And what does Pentecostal mean?
Oh, well, Pentecostal means that people very much believe in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now differentiate the Holy Spirit. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I know the Catholics talk about, what, a triune. What does all that mean?
Oh, yes. Well, the Trinity, what we call the Trinity, God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit, they are three in one. And God the Father in heaven sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into this world to die for us so that we may be saved. And the Holy Spirit is the one that implements this glorious work of salvation in the life of anyone who asks for it.
Okay, now Paul said God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to win others to Christ. It does seem foolhardy. You see people on street corners. From street corners, you see people in New York City. You see guys going to Africa like yourself, preaching to 360,000 people at a time. Is this an intellectual thing that happened to you, or did something within you intrinsically change and that you know you were converted?
No, it's not from brain to brain. It's not an intellectual thing. It is from heart to heart. The Holy Spirit knows how to pluck the strings of our innermost being. And when people are coming to hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is active. And a desire grows within them to break off the old, filthy, sinful life and receive salvation and purity of heart. Forgiveness of sins right there and then, because that can happen in the split of a second.
Now, would you say that we are physical beings having a spiritual experience, or are we in fact spiritual beings that are here for a short time having a physical experience?
Well, I would say our body is just the home for our spirit, because our spirit is eternal. Either going to heaven or hell, but But our body is temporal. So surely the real I is the human spirit in you and in me.
Are you married?
Yes, I am. I've got a wonderful wife. We are married for 46 years.
Children?
We have three children.
Three.
And eight grandchildren.
Eight grandchildren.
Yes.
How do you find time for your family when you're traveling around the world doing these evangelistic crusades?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not always on the road. And don't forget, I have a fantastic team. It's not.
How many on your team?
Well, I think worldwide we actually have it's a small thing, but it's highly agile and effective. We are maybe about 150 people.
150 people. Now, they're full-time employees.
Yes. I'm talking about different offices that we have.
Where? Canada?
In the U.S., in Canada, in Britain, in Germany, in South Africa, in Hong Kong, in Singapore, in Australia. We have all there. We have offices there.
Okay. Now, your head office is in Orlando?
Yes.
How did you find Vero Beach? Why are you living here?
Oh, well, you know, I
respite?
No,
you needed a respite, a little relaxation?
I needed a little distance, you know. In 2 weeks, I'm turning 70 years of age.
70?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you. So I needed a little distance and make room for my successor, Evangelist Daniel Colenda.
Is he the young guy that I see on the website?
Yes.
Why have you picked him?
Well, I believe that he is highly qualified. The Holy Spirit sent him because I didn't look for him. And he does exceptionally well. When he preaches in Africa, the people flock to him as they flock to me.
Why do you think they flock to you?
They flock to him.
Yeah, why do you think they flock to you, though?
To me?
Yeah, why? I mean, first of all, you started off with these little meetings of 800. You had a tent that could accommodate 800 people, right?
When I arrived in Africa, I preached sometimes to five people. My biggest surprise when I arrived as a young man, as a preacher in Africa, was that Africa had not been waiting for me. So I started, I would say, below zero.
Africa had not been waiting for you?
and then God is a lifter of my head. His hands lifted me little by little, but it was tough. I'm not saying that it all fell into my lap. It was hard work. And then all of a sudden it seemed as if I moved from step to step and from phase to phase until one day I stood in front of 1,600,000 people in a single service. I thought I could see the curvature of the earth. It was absolutely...
Now, how does that happen? Because they don't... Not everybody... I've been to Africa, Zimbabwe and Zaire and Zambia, and they don't have... Libya. They don't have... Or Liberia, whatever it is. They don't have televisions like we do. I mean, they do have TV, but not everybody has them.
No.
So, and not everybody has a newspaper that they read.
Well,
so how do you get the word out? How do you manage to collect 1,600,000 people at one meeting?
We always work with the local churches.
So that's how you get the word out.
And if the local churches are on board, from these local churches, we recruit our counselors. Because when I preach the gospel and people want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and make a decision, they need to be contacted by what we call a counselor from one of the local churches. We have, on average, in a crusade, let's say about 40,000-50,000 counselors. And in that big meeting in Lagos, where I preached to 1.6 million people, we had 200,000 counselors.
Let me ask you this. The Bible says that no liar shall enter the kingdom of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It also says somewhere, I think Jeremiah said that all men are liars. Right? Okay. So what I want to ask you today is, I want you to give me your word that what you're about to tell me is the truth. What miracles have you seen face-to-face on that platform? Because you invite people up, and you actually touch people, right?
Yeah.
At these ministry meetings.
Not necessarily. It's impossible to touch people.
You can't touch a million of them at one meeting.
No,
so what do you do?
What I do, I just pray a prayer of healing in the name of Jesus from the platform.
Yeah.
And then things begin to happen because Jesus is in the crowd. I can't go into the crowd.
So it's not you that heals, it's Jesus that
heals. No. But if I would move into the crowd, everybody would push forward, a stampede would happen, and we would have casualties that dare not happen.
Do you have to have a lot of marshals? around there? You know, police officers?
We have lots of police. We have lots of ushers.
Who?
Ushers.
You call them ushers.
We call them ushers.
But they're policemen incognito?
The ushers without a P in front, because that would make them push us.
What kind of miracles have you seen with your own eyes?
We see miracles in every single service.
Give us some specifics. People want to hear.
The blind see. The cripples walk. Cancers fall off. Tumors disappear. Just lately, one woman brought three of her 8 children into my meeting. Those 3 children of hers were totally blind because of some hereditary disease. All 3 were blind. And when I prayed from the platform, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes open, within the same split second, all 3 children received perfect sight. Now, that knocked me over. This is the power of Jesus Christ, and he is the same in America as he is in Africa.
Do you have any fear of death?
No, death is just a door. Death is just a door. I mean, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So there's no fear of death. You see, when Jesus Christ enters somebody's heart and life, mm-hmm. let's say somebody wants mm-hmm. to get saved,
yeah.
it's not just that the sins are being forgiven, but the first thing that goes is the fear of death, because you're not just receiving forgiveness of sins, but you receive eternal life. Even if this body perishes, you just step into, when you close your eyes on earth, you open your eyes in heaven. That is the destiny of a child of God.
And who's this young fellow you brought in here with you today?
Oh, he's my assistant.
What's your name?
My name's Nathan Previty.
Hey, Nathan, how are you?
Great, how are you?
Now, how old are you?
I'm 22.
You're 22. Now, have you been to Africa with Reverend Bunky?
Not yet.
Well, you haven't been to Africa.
No, he's just with me for 4 weeks now, so he's only starting.
Oh, so you're at the embryonic stages of all this.
I am, yes, sir.
Have you ever seen any of these miracles that he's talking about yet? No.
No, sir.
No. So no.
I've seen it on video.
You've seen it on video?
Mm-hmm. On TV.
When is he going to get to go to Africa for the first time?
Well, I've got 2 assistants, Andrew Colby, and Nathan is now helping him. So Andrew is mostly traveling with me right now, and his time will come.
Yes. His time will come, okay. So you're excited about that, huh?
Absolutely.
How long have you been a Christian?
My whole life. I grew up in a Christian home.
Okay, so you never had like an experience where you became born again? Or?
Yes, when I was 16.
16, what happened?
Yeah, I went to a youth group. My life just totally got turned around for God. I was kind of pursuing the things of the world, kind of turned away, didn't want the Christian lifestyle.
You didn't want the Christian lifestyle?
No. Grew up with it. I wanted to see a change.
Wanted to do your own thing.
Yeah.
And so you did it for a while? You were the wayward son, the prodigal son?
It wasn't that bad. No. No. For about 2 years, yes. And then around 16, the Lord just touched my life, and I haven't been the same since.
No, so. Did you feel a physiological thing happen to you? I mean, was there an actual conversion experience?
Yes, there was.
What happened? What did you feel?
I felt a release. I felt my direction in life. I felt like the Lord was pulling on my heart for the things of God and the ministry. And I just felt totally renewed and changed.
Are a lot of young people getting hungry for a spiritual relationship with a living God?
I believe so. I believe the youth of this nation are longing for something. They're always looking for entertainment or fulfillment. And I believe that we all have a longing for a relationship with the Lord. And I do believe that the church is headed towards a direction of intimacy with the Lord and a longing for Him.
Don't you think the whole world, Reinhard, needs, and by the way, it's spelled R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D, Bunky, B-O-N-N-K-E,
correct.
Reinhard Bunky,
correct.
German.
Yes.
I used to think that when I watched you on TV in these big crusades with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people showing up, I thought you were like an Africano.
Oh, no. I lived in South Africa for 19 years, Southern Africa, 7 years in Lesotho and 12 years in the Republic of South Africa.
Do you think he sounds like Jody, do you think my assistant Jody's in there, do you think he sounds like he has a German accent?
No. I don't think it's German, but do I know
it's
about
it? It's a combination,
you know?
I guess, of German and Africano now? Because it's been so much time
there? I
cannot
discern my own accent. Others have to do that, you know.
Have you ever seen an angel?
Yes, for a split second.
Where?
It was when I was at college. I had a very special experience there.
Tell us about it, please.
No, I can't really talk much about it.
Were you forbidden to talk about it?
No. I mean, but it was so short, so brief. I saw it, and then it was gone. And I fell on my knees and I prayed. I had a mighty experience with Jesus Christ. Angels are just messengers of God. So we have direct contact with Jesus Christ. I value that above any angel.
You know, I got born again when I was 29. And so up to that point, I was into Eastern religions. And I'm laying on my bed, about 2 weeks into this born-again experience. I saw Pat Robertson on TV, and he was talking about this Holy Spirit. I mean, I never heard about the Holy Spirit before, because my grandmother had been Catholic, but she took me to Mass maybe 9-10 times. My father was killed in a violent accident the day before my fifth birthday, so I never was brought to church. I didn't get baptized or anything like that. So I thought this was all a bunch of stuff, but I remember I got born again in my living room. I was all by myself, and I had this experience where waves of peace filled me up and joy. And it was, you know, this. I said, well, this is what the black folk are talking about, man. This was joy, overwhelming joy, a difference from happiness. But anyway, so about 2 weeks later, I woke up in the morning, you know, being a young person in my 20s. And I remember I said, I've got nothing to get up for. I'm just going to go to sleep. And I felt these two fingers poke me right in the side. Jumped up out of bed. An angel. Yeah. I felt these two fingers, I swear. You think I'm crazy, man?
Yeah.
So tell me something. Paul said, the foolishness of preaching. It does seem foolish to the world, doesn't it?
Well, the simplicity of the gospel offends many people because they think it is too simple. And it is an insult to their intellect. But the gospel is not simplistic. It is simple, but it's not simplistic. And if people regard it as foolishness, it just shows how lost they are. And we need to pray for them, and we need to keep preaching to them or witnessing to them.
People are offended, though, by the name of Jesus. For Easter, I bought a box of videos of the Jesus film. And so I'm going around town giving them away. And I was over at a restaurant the other day, and there was a lady there who seats people. And somebody had wanted a copy of this Jesus film. Well, anyway, so I offered it to her. And she goes, she saw the name of Jesus right on the cover in a picture of Jesus. Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for asking me, but no, thank you. And I thought, I wonder why people are so quick to turn down a complimentary video on a dramatic rendition of the life of Jesus. And I thought, well, they think that he confines, that he's going to confine them. Well, you can't, you know, you have to watch your behavior, or you have to, you know, be sequestered or chained up into some religious, you know.
I doubt that. Most people don't even know what they are rejecting. They don't know. Some people say they are unbelievers, or what? But they can only be unbelievers if they know what we believe. But they you know, some people never read the Bible, but they want to speak as dogmatic as the Pope. It's sheer ignorance. It's some preconceived idea.
Now, what would you say about the dogma of the Pope? What's that?
I was just joking, actually. I said some people never read the Bible, but they want to speak as dogmatic as the Pope. So I'm just saying...
Okay, what does dogmatic mean?
Dogmatic is when he speaks ex cathedra.
And that is?
That is even worse. when the Pope, for me, is not a good example. So when they, you know, people reject... something they actually don't know what they reject.
Okay. Are you and the Pope on the same team?
Oh.
You're not?
No.
Why?
I don't make any bones about it.
Are you anti-Catholic?
I'm pro-Jesus, Come on, okay. Just pro-Jesus.
No, well, I mean, because there are people that...
I preach to all people, and the Catholics are flocking to my meetings as well. I am preaching, I'm interdenominational. People of all churches come to my meetings. And we are, what shall I say, interdenominational, a genuine interdenominational ministry. But my message is without any compromise. I preach it as straight as an arrow.
Okay. And so what is that message?
The message is that you must repent of your sin. That means you have to turn away from it. But that's not all. You've then got to put your trust in Jesus, because the message is repent and believe. So people who only repent cannot find salvation. They will just cry tears for the rest of their days. Repentance doesn't save. That's why the Bible says, repent and believe, which means put your trust in Christ. And putting our trust in Christ saves us. That is our salvation. What I preach.
Putting your trust in him in what way?
To trust him actually means to entrust him. If you would like to have, just for an illustration, okay. If you would like to have a lift in my car, you enter my car, I'm at the steering wheel, you entrust yourself to me, and you trust that I do not drive you against the next tree. You trust me for a safe journey.
Yeah.
And when people are put their trust in Jesus, they get in with him. He takes over the steering wheel of their life. They are under new management, and he makes sure that they safely arrive in heaven.
I think there's a new hit song called Jesus Take the Wheel last year. Wasn't that a big song?
I never heard
Jesus Take the Wheel, sung by some female?
Yeah, that was Carrie Underwood. And
Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel?
Secular music, though, but...
Not necessarily secular, no. I mean, she's singing about Jesus. Who says it's secular?
Well, I'm just saying on secular stations.
Secular, yeah. Well, maybe we need to stop differentiating. Maybe it all melds together somehow, you know what I mean?
Well, Jesus is wholly different. Is holy. There is not a melting possible. Actually, Jesus is. His name is far above all other names. You know, there is. Sometimes when I'm sleeping, it is to me as if all heaven is singing, and you know what they sing, Red? They sing, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the
Worthy
Lamb.
Is
all
the
heaven
Lamb.
Is singing. All creatures, angelic or human, or all these great spirits, they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb," which means there is no courtesy throne for any other god in heaven. Just worthy is the Lamb. So he is absolutely absolute and absolutely exclusive. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Do you have that song, Jesus Take the Wheel, by that girl? Okay, Jesus Take the Wheel. We're going to play a little of that song, and then we're going to take a little break. You want to put on your headset there, you can hear the song. Where's his headset? It seems to be missing in action. Okay.
All right.
All right. All right, we'll be back with Reinhard Bunke. His last meeting a couple of weeks ago in Africa, right?
Yes.
360-some-odd thousand people showed up and made a decision for Jesus Christ.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. the wheel.
Yes,
that's
take
good.
The wheel.
That's right. That's the analogy you use. Jesus, take the wheel.
It's the first time I hear this song.
Keep it up.
Yeah. It was still getting colder when she made it to the shoulder and the car came to a stop. She cried when she saw that baby in the backseat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the
Okay, today's broadcast brought to you by Strunk Funeral Home, a name you can trust in town, Strunk Funeral Home, and also Route 60 Hyundai. The sale is on. Test drive a new Santa Fe today. That's what I'm driving. We have Reinhard Bunke in the studio today. He's an evangelist, a crusader.
Yes.
But comes in the name of peace, not in violence. He doesn't bring weapons to Africa. The only weapon is his Bible, the double-edged sword of the Lord.
We are peacemakers, not peacebreakers.
Okay, tell us about you start off with preaching to five people in Africa. How do you get to having a half a million people show up? You said at one of your events over a million Africanos showed up.
Yes. Well, I started very low. And slow and very small.
Yeah.
And then one night I had a dream.
Oh.
I saw the whole map of Africa.
Yeah.
And I saw how Africa became washed from all its violence and from all its sin by the precious blood of Jesus, that whole continent. And I heard the voice of God cry, Africa shall be saved. And then I realized that God had a bigger agenda for my life. And I left that little country of Lesotho. I went to Botswana. And I had a divine impulse to hire or to rent the national stadium in Gaborone, the capital of Botswana. I tried to seek cooperation from all the churches. Nobody wanted to cooperate. Only one who had 40 people in his assembly.
40?
40.
Number of testing.
So I now saw already in my mind, how minds play tricks on us. I saw myself with 100 people in the national stadium.
So you're going, hey, God, what happened to my vision?
So, yes, but... something fantastic happened.
What?
After a few days,
that
stadium was packed.
Really?
It was a small stadium because it was a small capital city.
Now, you don't speak Afrikaans or Shawnee or whatever it is they speak.
No. I can understand every word, but you see, I'm German, and I was there in the South Africa of apartheid, this racial tension.
Oh.
So I didn't want to be mistaken as an Afrikaner, one of the old oppressors,
yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So I kept emphasizing every time in every meeting, I come from Germany, and I emphasized my Germanness because I didn't want it to be mixed up. I wanted to really have the acceptance of the African people, the black people, and it really, really worked.
Jody, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Do you have anything rolling around in your heart you want to ask Reinhard Bunke? In the meantime, while you were thinking about that, I'll tell you this. You know, I saw you as a young man. You know, you're going to turn 70, right?
Yes.
I've seen you on TV, 30 years now I've been watching you on TV?
That's possible.
25, 30 years?
That's possible.
You know, and I always felt I'm pretty critical. You know, I see people on there, and I'm a little suspect because, some people come in the name of Jesus and they want filthy lucre.
Absolutely.
But I always picked up a good vibe about you. Never would I think that you and I would be sitting face-to-face or become friends or that you would move to this little town and that your headquarters were in Orlando, and here you are. And you're still going out and you're doing this. Pretty amazing thing that you go out and you speak to 400,000 people. You say, I'll say what the Bible says, first of all. He says, God has no joy in the timid or reticent soul. And I told you that I'd written gospel music, but it's sort of being hidden. It's like hidden in the closet. And even Jesus spoke about not hiding your light under a bushel. So, and there's also the story where the master hands out talents. they ironically were called talents in the days of old. Mm-hmm. They're gold coins.
Yeah.
And the one man hides the talent in his backyard.
Yeah.
The other one goes, invests, and takes his talent and turns it into five.
Yes.
The other one takes his talent, takes big chances, and turns it into ten.
Yes.
The master returns. He says, what did you do? He says, well, I took your one talent, I turned it into 10 talents. Ah, your reward is great. Come into my kingdom. The second one, he said, what did you do? He said, well, I took your talent and I turned it into five. Good. The other one, he says, oh, I feared you, Lord, so I hid it in the back of my yard. He says, thou fool, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I want have nothing to do with you. And took that one talent that he hid in the ground and gave it to the one who had taken the made the 10.
Yes.
So God is not going to be very happy with people that hid their talents or were reticent or shy or backward, diffident, or thought, oh, I'm just living a nice little life and I'm pleasant and I help little old ladies across the street. It ain't going to be enough in the end, is it?
No, no. I don't know how many talents God has given me by his grace, whether it's two or three or four or five. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. I use something like a metal detector, and I am hunting for those buried talents. And if I find a buried talent of someone else, I will go to someone else and say to him or her, I see you do nothing with your talent. May I perhaps borrow it? Because I can do with some more. I'm going to put it to work for Jesus. I feel I have unearthed many hidden talents. And such people who did nothing for God have partnered with me to win millions for Christ. And they will have a great reward. So my message is, let's inspire those who have hidden their talent to help us to make use of it, and one day we all will have a great reward for Jesus. And another thing, if I may add that,
please,
is this, that the one who had five and gained ten through his activity of business, mm-hmm. the Lord said, I'll put you over five cities or over ten cities. And it suddenly struck me that the reward for good work is more work.
Well, the reward for good work is more work.
Yes. He said, you have been faithful, I put you over much. So the reward for good work is more work. That's a promotion.
I had some doctors on the show yesterday who are very upset with the health care and the health care reform. They want reform, but not the reform we have. We have Enron. We have businesses ripping people off. We have Wall Street ripping people off. We have mortgage lenders who have given mortgages to people that really shouldn't have been. You know, you could, a few years ago, you could borrow $1 million and just pay the interest monthly. You could be a janitor at the local McDonald's and you could borrow $1 million. And now it's all coming home to roost. It's greed run rampant. And as I said to Dr. Mallon, he's a Jewish guy, and I said to Dr. Zimmerman the other day, I said, I believe really we have a spiritual problem. I think the whole thing is a spiritual problem. Where's our code of ethics? What has happened? Are we a godless nation? We don't fear God anymore. No fear of God, no fear of any consequences. Therefore, greed has run amok. And are people happy? They're not happy, Reinhard. They're not happy. People aren't happy when they're not mannerly letting people out in traffic. It's all about me. Let me ahead. I want to go ahead. Pull over. Get away. Okay. Hey, I'm not going to let you out. I got to get ahead. Go into the post office. I'm opening the door for me, and I'm not holding it for a lady. And yet, if you stop and you hold the door open for somebody, and they turn, oh, thank you. Thank you. Have a pleasant day. You have a nice day, too. Suddenly, your whole world changes
yes.
when we think of others instead of self. Have we become lovers of selves?
Well, you know, my background is German. I'm a citizen of Germany, and I now live in America for just about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different view of America.
What is your view?
My view is that I think America is a piece of heaven. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect.
Why?
In contrast to what I see in Europe. The empty churches, the godlessness, it's prolific, it's rampant. And here in America, on every level, I find true Christians. I'm not saying everyone is a Christian, and I'm not saying America has no problems, but I see it against the backdrop of Germany or Europe, and I think America is against that backdrop. It's a shining light.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're the optimist.
Well, you know, I mean, wherever I go in the world, I find myself defending America, believe it or not.
America.
Ah, yeah.
Why? What do people say?
Well, you know, under the Bush administration in Germany, everybody was just hacking away and so on. And I feel America has got a totally different role to play than any of the European nations. America is,
what role
is the
that?
Only superpower on Earth. The only superpower on Earth. And there has to be someone who's got a big stick to tell all those would-be Hitlers so far and not further. And that is America's role in the world. So I think we should be extremely grateful that America plays a different role to, let's say, Germany or other nations like that. So I think that's how I spoke about it.
You're only 14 years older than me. But if we had been alive during the reign of Hitler, I would have absolutely thought he was the Antichrist incarnate, right? Wouldn't you have thought so too?
He was devil possessed.
Do you think he was? Do you think he was maybe the bad guy, and maybe he was thwarted by the power of prayer?
He was a forerunner of Antichrist, but Antichrist is still coming.
You believe that?
The Antichrist.
You believe that?
Oh yes, oh, that's clear. It's clear because the ultimate fulfillment of what the Antichrist is to do has not yet taken place. He came and he went took the whole world with him, in a way, and these atrocities against the Jewish nation and all that. It's unbelievable.
Somebody brought the subject of homosexuality to you recently. And you thought about it, and God gave you some wisdom. What was the words you used?
Well, let me just say, let me just introduce this subject by saying that Jesus loves all sinners. Sin is not God's problem because He has a solution for it, and the solution is that He sent His Son to die for all sinners to be saved. So, sin is not God's problem. If we put our trust in the Lord, as I already explained, sin will be wiped out. It can be wiped out. But this gentleman from one of the German news magazines, the equivalent to Time here or Newsweek in the US, he said to me, what do you think about homosexuality, Reverend Bonnke? I said, well, it's against nature. It's just against nature. And then, you know, my mind works in pictures. So and I said, oh, I said to him, it's quite simple. When I need gasoline for my car, I put the nozzle in the tank and not the exhaust. And when they all laughed, I said, wait a minute. I'm not here to crack jokes. I'm not cracking jokes. All I'm saying is this. A car is not built like that. And man is not created like that. That was the end of the discussion.
Okay, do you think homosexual sin is greater than the sin of adultery?
No.
Between heterosexuals?
No, sin is sin before God. If you sit in the left pit or if you sit in the right pit, both need salvation. I don't think there are degrees of sins like that because we are always surprised when sinners sin, you know? But God knows it. And he made provision for that. But he sent us out with the good news, which means Jesus will lift you out of that dungeon or that pit. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will change your perception. He will change your language. He will change your heart. You will become a brand new creature. And whether you are in the left ditch or in the right ditch, we are all in the ditch. We are all sinners and come short of the glory of God. So there is, I would never say that homosexual in God's eyes is a worse sinner than anybody, than any other sinner.
Okay, because a lot of people tend to pick on those guys and gals. But anyway, okay, the Spaniards, the Spanish ships that came here, and they crashed and burned on the outside here in the outer banks or whatever of Florida. Hence were called the Treasure Coast. Every day, those Spaniards, the Catholics, would have Mass every day to be forgiven of their sins. So somebody believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but we all sin. I mean, you get up today and maybe you got angry at somebody in traffic on your way here, or maybe I swore and I shouldn't swear, or had ill thoughts towards somebody. So if you cannot gain, now Paul said salvation is the free gift of God, lest any man boast of his own works. So if it is the free gift of God, then if you cannot gain it by good works, then can you lose it by bad works?
No, I look at it like this. Faith does produce good works, but good works don't produce faith. Like milk produces butter, but butter doesn't produce milk.
Okay, because we've got all kinds of people out there listening now. They know they've done things wrong, whether it's adultery, whether it's swearing, whether it's stealing, whether it's not being completely honest, whether it's the salesman that exaggerates, and that's just another word for lying. And the Bible says all men are liars. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so how do we have confidence? So you're saying the confidence in getting into heaven is the moment you breathe your last breath is not, well, I did these things, I'm sorry I did these things, but I'm trusting totally and implicitly in the fact that Jesus Christ is my propitiation for my sins. I have nothing else to render myself righteous except the blood of the Holy Lamb of God. Is that what you're saying?
I say this, that in 1 John 1, 7, we read that if we have, it says there that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Now that word cleanses us in the Greek original actually is in the present continuous tense. It means it keeps cleansing us. It keeps cleansing us. So when I believe that when I follow Jesus Christ, I have found forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. I had a real bath in the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I do need many washings in the meantime as well. I believe that as I live my life for Jesus Christ, that the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing us constantly and makes us fit for the presence of God.
Now, there was a guy in the Bible, an old Jewish guy, and he was married to a beautiful young lady, and she left him and went down into the city and sold herself as a whore, a prostitute, or whatever.
So, yeah.
And then years later, when she was old and wrinkled up, the Lord spoke to the man and said, go back and get your wife. As you are married to her, so am I married to Israel. And if you'll repent of your ways, I will forgive you. So are you suggesting that once you're married to the Lord, he is a faithful husband to his bride and will take the bride back as long as the bride repents?
You use now an Old Testament picture. I love to jump into the Old Testament, the New Testament.
Okay.
Let's talk about Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. He went away into a far country. He spent his money with righteous living, real worldly...
Riotous living, yes.
Righteous living. Riotous. Riots.
Sound like you said righteous living.
No, not righteous. Then he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me one of your hired servants.
But the father ran to him.
Yes, but the point is this. If he hadn't arisen, mm-hmm. if he hadn't gone home, mm-hmm. he would have died among the pigs. Uh-huh. So it's not just all automatic. When I've received Jesus as my Savior, I can't live like a pig.
We have freedom.
We have an obligation to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to live a life that pleases him.
What pleases him?
His word is so explicit. There are the Ten Commandments. They should become a matter of course in our own lives.
Okay, he said, many, many will come to me that day, and they'll say they had tent revivals. They had meetings. They declared my name. They did signs and wonders, but I knew them not. To many others, he'll say, you visited me in prison, fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked. Come in, for your reward is great. And they will say, when did we know you? When did we feed you? When did we clothe you? And he said, when you've done it to these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. For if ye say, you love the Father whom you have not seen, but don't love the brother whom ye have seen, you're a liar, no truth dwelleth in you. So would you say the axiom, the umbrella that we should fall under is love others?
Yeah, that's part of it, but it's an outflow. First comes an inflow, that is salvation. It changes me. And then comes an outflow. These things become, these supernatural things become quite natural to the new nature of a born-again Christian. So it's not always, I must, and I think, and I what, you know. Sin shall have no dominion over you, and we must not sin just to experience again the forgiveness of God. No. Paul says, God forbid that this should happen. So we must endeavor to live a life that pleases God according to the Word of God, and once that happens, you will have permanent peace. True and genuine peace in Christ, you will rest in him. I speak from my own experience by the grace of God. They are always hypocrites. They are operators of the power of God. They're like crane operators. They know which lever to pull, and the whole thing works, but they are not sons of God. And that is the difference. They are operators of faith. And there are sons and daughters of faith.
We got 1 minute left. How does somebody out there know that they're a genuine son or daughter of God? How can that happen? Reinhard Bonnke.
The Holy Spirit gives witness to our spirit that we are children of God, mm-hmm. sons or daughters. That is the ultimate assurance.
Somebody wants to get in touch with you. What's your website?
My website is cfan.org.
Which stands for?
Christ for All Nations.
Christ for All Nations. He's Reinhard Bonnke, and that is spelled, he's evangelist. Recently at one of his meetings in Africa, over 360,000 decisions for Jesus Christ at one meeting. Reinhard, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D, Reinhard Bonnke, B-O-N-N-K-E. Enjoy your respite of peace in your sequestered in your privacy of your home here in Vero Beach, and may the Lord bless you as you go back to Africa, Reinhard. Thank you for coming on my broadcast.
Thank you, Rhett.
Good to see you.
No sin to hide, but you.